the world leader in Internet Talk Radio. Internet Talk Radio. You're listening to America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hey, 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 America. I am so excited to be here. You're listening to Waking Up in America, and we're a premier radio magazine that's been on the air since the 80s. Pretty cool, huh? And we provide listeners with powerful conversations of excellence for body, mind, spirit, and business. Come be a fly on the wall with us and listen to some of the most intriguing conversations in radio, and you can get it only here on Waking Up in America. We got flies all over the place. It's great, Gail. I am Dr. Valerie Kirkgaard. I'm a mom. I played polo. I piloted planes and carried the Olympic torch, and I live inside of the question that if I'm really interested in something, I made a commitment to myself not to die wondering about it. In a similar vein, our editors and guests are people who actually relish living out loud. They live to their full potential, or, you know, as close as they can get to that, and that's what we're all up to here. So we're constantly bringing each other forward, and that is totally thrilling. Our guests say that they feel honored and loved by our radio team, and I think that's pretty cool. Bob Sercosta, you better say that afterwards too, Gail. Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network says we are doing radio which will change the world, and I hope you agree. When I do interviews with people, I'm interested in a number of things. I'm interested in the interesting points of view that they offer. I want to know if they have new information, and I want people to know that people with love and heart actually and charm and intelligence actually function all over the place in the business world, and that when you find them, it's like fresh water. It's like warmth. We have an amazing radio team. Lisa invites you to create family structures, and she does a segment called Family Matters, and she'll be following Gail after his presentation on community. And Cherie is our essential oils person, and she tells you how to feel better at low cost and how to make simple changes that have impact. And we'll even talk a little bit about that. I took some of the essential oils with me on Saturday when I went ocean kayaking. George will tell leadership stories with a lift and offer you tools that get you results professionally and personally. And the diva Maureen O'Crean is, she brings light, laughter, and Godiva chocolates to the divos and divas alike. Go, girl. Now, if you happen to hear a dog barking or a telephone ringing or the wail of a fire engine or a child laughing, know that we are on Telephone Stokosis program, and we do that from all over the United States. Call your friends and invite them to listen. We can be heard from any place in the world that has computer internet access, and we can be heard in Albuquerque, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and we're marching towards Arkansas right now. It's exciting. These stations are being picked up to carry us. You can check our website at wakinguminamerica.com. Once again, that's wakinguminamerica.com. You want to ask one of our guests a question? Send me an email at val@wakinguminamerica.com, and I will ask that question for you on the air, and you can hear the answer and get immediate feedback. Check into our site to find the days and times in America where you can be heard at our other locations. Keep a paper and pen handy, as there will be names, numbers that you will want to jot down. And folks, when you go to the website, sign in as a listener for a contact list, and we'll be happy to let you know who the guest is next week. We had a breakdown on the server, so things didn't go quite as they were planned this week, but we'll be back and ready to go. And here is the cool part. I'm turning 65 in August, and I'm giving away, and the radio team is giving away, an iPod shuffler filled with wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people from Waking Up in America. And one of you lucky listeners is going to get it, but you're going to have to go to the website at wakinguminamerica.com and sign in to get that iPod shuffler. So I'm rocking out at 65, and you might as well enjoy it too. So, gosh, Gail, you've been in my life, I think, for about 2-3 years, haven't you?
That's about right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually met you through Mitch Santel, so thank you, Mitch. If your ears are burning, we're blowing at them. And you also turned me on to Jim Morgan, who is somebody that I appreciate greatly in my life. So it's like very clear that I trust you as a representative of the business world. So when I found out that you were doing this, the connectory.com and what you were up to, and that you're part of the IBI Global, I thought it was time for our radio community to find out what you're up to with the benefits of collaboration.
Well, you know, it's interesting. For years, I've always believed that it's untrue that nice guys finish last. I knew that wasn't the case. I refused to believe it when I heard it in the business world. I knew there had to be a better way. And for the last 2.5 years, I have been coaching entrepreneurs in this wonderful heart-centered way. And it all started with an organization that we call IBI Global.
Are you on a cell phone, Gail?
No, I'm on my regular home phone.
Huh. Well, I demand the universe to give Gail a clear line.
That's a great idea, and I feel the same way.
So. Okay, great, good.
I'll tell you what I will do. I have a fan running in the room, and I will turn that down, and it could be causing a little interference.
Oh, that'd be good. See,
believe it or not, it's fan weather in the Rockies.
We originated real radio years ago, just years ago. So I'm proud to be one of the pioneers. I remember Terry Cole Whitaker, Gail. I was interviewing her on the radio, and she screamed.
Oh, my God.
And she ran into her kitchen. It was on fire. So I covered her where she put the fire out in the kitchen. And then she came back, and I found that really very interesting. And then once with David Horowitz, we were actually struck by lightning on the bridge, and everybody got knocked off the call. And then we all climbed back on, and David Horowitz told us one of the wonderful stories of Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, my God.
So it's like, this is really it. It's really happening right here. Everything that's going on is really happening.
Well, that's right.
Oh, that does sound better.
Oh, good, good.
So give it to him, Gail.
Well, like I said, I've always believed that there was a better way to do business, that you could be heart-centered and loving and kind and still get just miraculous results. And I came across an organization called IBI Global, which I am proudly a member of. And from their teaching of cooperation in business, we have... In our own Colorado group, just expanded on the technology that they were teaching. Now, what's really exciting...
And what technology are they teaching that's so exciting?
It's called the technology of cooperation.
Oh. Cooperation? What a strange word.
Especially when you talk about business. Because everyone, for years and years and years, has been talking about and believed that the right way to get the most results from business was through competition. Now, that all started years ago with Adam Smith and his advocacy of self-interest. He believed that the sole principle, that the advocacy of self-interest was the sole principle necessary for the achievement of the public good. Now, it sounded like it might work. And in fact...
Gail, going to have to interrupt you for a moment.
Absolutely.
You have a terrible line, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you could call, if you could hang up and call back in again, we'll cover for you.
Okay.
But I don't want you to be recorded in history as a big blurb.
You got it.
Okay?
I'll do it.
Thanks.
Bye.
There you go, folks. Gail will be calling back in again. We want you to get the square shot on what he's really up to here and what's happening. And I was so struck when he started talking about this because I know that one of the reasons that there's a lot of layoffs I saw, actually, that they're one of the companies, one of the big companies, I think it's Hewlett-Packard. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but they're laying out something like 14,000 people, which is 10% of their workforce in the San Francisco area. And the reason they're doing it is to make themselves competitive in the marketplace. And it would be a much wiser thing if Hewlett-Packard and Apple and all the different people that make printers and computers were actually working together, Dell, and creating a platform that works for everybody. I really truly believe that with this happening, that we would totally, totally, totally get cooperation. We might pay a little more, but personally, what we're trading to save a little money, to save a few cents, it's horrific what we're trading, what we're losing, what the American employees are suffering from because all the work is being outsourced. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this or not, but it's like 80 cents an hour to hire somebody in India. Nobody here can compare with it. If our companies were competing in the area of how can we cooperate more with each other and have different niche in the market, I think something really outstanding would happen. Gail, are you back yet?
I am, and I hope this is better.
Perfect.
All right.
I'm glad I asked you to do that.
Well, this
did
is actually my fast line, so.
Did you hear what I was saying about the marketplace and about how if companies were creating collaboration, probably Hewlett-Packard wouldn't have had to lay off 14,000 people?
Well, you're exactly right. But I'll tell you what I see as the most important part of collaboration right now is it means that small business has an equal playing field to large corporate interests. We have the ability now to really, and I think I heard you say this really early on today, we have the ability to uplift each other.
Yes.
To really help each other. But the whole idea of competition started with Adam Smith. And do you recall the movie It's a Beautiful Mind or A Beautiful
Mind? Yes, I did. I thought it was amazing.
It was an amazing movie. It was about a real person, John Nash, who actually mathematically proved that competition is a failed model.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
That's right, and it's so amazing.
So how would you take Hewlett-Packard and Apple and Dell and get them to cooperate? What would it have to look like? Or is that what you're referring to?
Well, it could be, but I have to tell you that it's a very long process to take an organization and to teach cooperative techniques within it. There's a lot of unlearning involved. Unlearning. So I would say that
it's called
a real
the American way.
Pardon?
The American way. The American way is all about making a fortune on your own.
Yeah, the American way is all about competition. It's taken us a long time for the whole idea that cooperation is a better model to begin to filter into mainstream.
So what would be some steps that a group of individuals or an individual could take to start to create cooperation inside of the model you're referring to, Gail?
Well, there certainly are a couple of things. Number one is what I call the invisible door. And that is when you're looking at a direction that seems probable or likely that you should take, but it doesn't feel good, like in the order of competition, where you really don't want to compete with another company or
right.
another individual, just refuse to do it. Just say to yourself, that I can't accept that model, period. And what happens is that automatically it opens up other opportunities that you could not previously see. So much of competition is eliminated when you take it out of your language and out of your posturing as a way of doing business. I see it all the time with small businesses.
Could you give us a literary example of that, how you it would be competitive and how you would say it if it wasn't?
I absolutely can. Imagine that you have, for example, I don't know how many business clubs you've belonged to over the years, but I suspect a few. And some of the clubs actually will say, we can only have one dry cleaner, right, in our club.
Right.
Okay, so just imagine for a moment that you have two dry cleaners in your club, and they're looking at each other across the table, right? And they're all looking for leads, and maybe it's a leads group, and they're looking at each other, and they're kind of eyeing what the other one is doing. Now, just imagine for a moment that one of them said, wait a minute, what if we looked at this as an opportunity to cooperate? How could we better help each other get more business? As soon as they make that declaration, opportunities arise. For example, they may be able to cooperatively advertise and reduce the overall cost of their advertisements because of the amount of placements by as much as 25 to 40%.
Wow.
Now, that's just a simple example.
Oh,
but there
it.
Are so many more.
I get it. You know, George, are you there, George? George Rucheski? So many of us are on mute so that we don't have the background noise in. Lisa, are you there?
I'm here, but I'm on a cell phone. I'll be back to you shortly.
Okay, just quickly ask him a question.
Okay.
Gail, ask Gail a question.
Well, Gail, isn't a good example the farming groups, the Idaho Potatoes, the Orange Farmers, that all of those associations are organized around principles of cooperatively creating an attraction model for the products and services that their members fill.
Now, you're absolutely right. In fact, they're called co-ops, and that is, in fact, a perfect example of how cooperation works. And especially, it's a very good example, George, of how it levels the playing field. Those individual farmers could never compete in the marketplace without working in cooperation.
So we've already got this in action. We just have to apply it to other areas.
Can it be applied to other areas? That's the question I have.
This is Lisa Molson.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How Family Matters?
When you talk about applying it to other areas, are you talking about business areas, other business?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here going, okay.
I'm thinking of the tribes, Lisa. What are you thinking of?
No, I'm thinking of financial services. We're in the process of building a company that services ATMs, check cash, and credit card services to the gaming industry. All right, and there's, like, key competitors, you know, so we kind of strategize how we're going to, our whole business model is based on who's out there in the marketplace, what needs need to be filled, you know, that aren't being filled, and how do you have a cooperative with, you know, people, other people in our industry. Other than the fact that we're looking at buying some of those companies, seeing how, you know, some of their systems enhance what we do. And some companies, we sell their product because we think they have a good product and we don't have it, that kind of thing.
Well, the truth of the matter is that it can be applied to any industry. Now, I will tell you this. There are going to be some players who are tainted. You know, they're into the competitive model, and the cooperative technology will just not appeal to them. And those people, you simply are not going to be able to involve. That's all there is to it. But that's the way the world works anyway. And but I have a couple of really interesting thoughts to share with you, Valerie.
Yes.
You know, it's really interesting as we have evolved and been talking more and more about cooperation. It's really catching on, and you can find it in all kinds of media right now with a lot of people. And every university, just about every university that has a major business department is now talking, and not just talking about cooperation, but actually doing studies related to what cooperation. Now, I'm sure that Maureen will definitely love this idea, but the Emory University recently did a study of cooperation. Here's what they found out.
Mm-hmm.
They found out that not only does it work, but it feels good.
I'm ready.
In fact, get this. It fires off the same receptors just like chocolate.
You're right. The diva will love it. We'll make sure that she finds that out. What is connectory.com? Would you let our listeners know?
Yeah, it's theconnectory.com. It is a collaborative site for, it's really designed to be a social networking site. Now, when I say social networking, that includes business. But the purpose of the site is twofold. Number one, to connect people, to make it easy for people to find your business and your contact information. Number two is to give you a cooperative forum in which to become the expert in your field. In other words, you already are the expert in your field in many cases, but a lot of people don't know about it. Now, we have added a third component to our social networking site, which we call intentional cooperation, which means that we are actually going to help other businesses become successful. And the way that we do that, and this is such a simple thing, we've introduced blogging as a component, and we are going to intentionally blog for, and that means just reading blogs and making comments about blogs on a weekly basis. So our goal is that we will write 3 comments on our own blogs every week, and that we will support each other by commenting on another blog at least 3 times a week.
What is a blog?
A blog is short for weblog. And in the past, we have mostly seen them as personal journals. But they turn out to be an extremely effective way of marketing your business. It allows you to become an expert in your field very quickly on the Internet. And it's due to the technology which actually moves the information. And they operate on a different system than, say, for example, a typical web page would. And it increases the speed at which an article that you post or a blog that you post gets out there. So when you blog online, your comments reach out to the world almost instantly. Whereas if you said the same thing on a website, it would take up to 21 days before the search engines would even know anything at all about it.
Very interesting. Well, Gail, how do people get a hold of you, and how could they use you? You know, if they did get a hold of you, how would that work?
Well, just about everyone can use the power of collaboration when it comes to improving their own business. And they can do that by going to theconnectory.com and become a member. It's very inexpensive, and the results are incredible. And I am also reachable by email. It's Gail@theconnectory.com.
And your name is spelled G-A-L-E.
Uh-huh.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Somebody's spelling it differently. Well, I find this very exciting. I'm glad that we're headed in this direction. The idea of creating out of peace and cooperation and creativity just sounds like a great thing to me. So, Gail, I want to just say thank you so much. It's a privilege, and I'm going to be sending you some more changes for the business plan, dear heart.
All right. Sounds wonderful.
I love doing business with people of your caliber. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I want you guys to check out our editors and guests at our website, wakingupinamerica.com. Or if you've missed any of this and you want to find out more about Gail, you can call him at toll-free 866-RADIO-99. That's our radio 800 number. And if you want to do something that will make a difference and cost you nothing, go to wakingupinamerica.com and click on the Nature Conservancy's link to the Race for the Rainforest, and you can save marine wetlands, American prairie, or rainforest. I think the minimum you can save is 7 square feet, which is always good. And imagine what would happen if you did that every day of the year. You could actually make a huge difference. There's another way you can also make a huge difference. Is only 2% to 3% of the population of the United States gives blood to the Red Cross. And I cannot tell you what it feels like. I'm an O positive. And I've given like over 20 pints of blood at this point. And they use the blood that I give with premature babies. And it feels really, really, really special. I know that every pint of blood that I give will be broken down into three parts and given to different people. So it's not like they just give your pint to somebody and it's over. They take different parts of your blood and they distribute it, like burn patients and all kinds of interesting stuff. So I would check out the Red Cross if I were you in your area. And take a look at what that would be like, contributing to that. So, what can I tell you? We've got Lisa Molson of Family Matters that she's next, and you can hear. She's a Sharpie. You can hear her. She's got 6 kids. She's got a blended family. She's got 3 wristwatches on her right wrist, but she's always in a different time zone. And she's here with us today. She's Lisa Molson. Go for it, hot dog.
Hey, thanks. Well, I just wanted to... That was awesome. I thought Gail was awesome.
Isn't he something?
Yeah, he was great. I was actually wanting to kind of see how that works in a family and trying to figure out how to pull that right into what we do here.
Well, you know, you might want to do a little mini session with him. I'll give you his number.
I'd love to talk with him to see if they have any research in that area.
He is one of the kindest, sharpest, most soothing, remarkable people I've ever met in my entire life.
Yep, I love people like that, too.
You know what they say? When I talk to him, he always saying, what can I do for you?
Oh, that's great.
And he actually means it.
Well, that's good. Well, one of the things that I wanted to share with us, and just trying to get us to focus in a couple of areas in our life, but these are like core things that we need to be working on in our families, I think that helps us when we die, we know that our kids are taken care of, and that's in the areas that teach a child their free agency, and a free agency really... Actually, is that when you go back in the Bible history, it was the story of Christ and God picking Jesus or Lucifer, right? To who's going to lead the world or whatever, and essentially the free agency was born out of that whole thing to choose. Satan was saying that I'm going to make everybody come back to you, God, or Jesus was saying I'm going to let everybody choose. It's like we all get to be choose. And one of the so when we hear free agency, that's kind of where it's rooted in, is that whole story of how that all came to be. And one of the best things that we can do as parents is to teach our kids how to make good decisions. I mean, the biggest piece that I'll ever have is knowing that I taught my kids good principles, and that's all you can do as a parent is to teach them good principles, because at the end of the day, it's going to be on them. That,
so if they have a good principle, they're going to end up with a good decision is what you're saying.
Right, well, the likelihood that, yeah, if you show them how to, though, see, that's the key. If you continue as a parent to tell your kids what to do and not show them the tools and the principles on how to make good decisions and set them up so that, you know, encouraging them to think things through on their own. And when they think things through, because, you know, it's the power and freedom to make choices, right or wrong. See, we all have that choice. And children are able to grow the most when they can exercise their own agency. So however they use their agency to choose the wrong, they limit, if they say they choose the wrong, you as a parent show them that they limit their future happiness, because that's what happens when we don't make the right choices. It limits our happiness. And to choose properly, children need knowledge. That's how you make good decisions. They need to understand the alternatives. They need the freedom to choose, and if we take that away from them, we actually cripple our own kids and make them dependent on us. So as parents, allowing your children to exercise their agency and choose for themselves is one of the greatest things that we can give them.
Well, and as a parent, do you mind if I make a comment here?
Sure.
So as a parent, I finally figured that out, right? The kids need a choice.
Right.
So I gave them the choice between two things. Mm-hmm. Do you want to clean out the garage, or would you like to clean your room? And I found that what they really wanted was the choice, that a lot of times they weren't objecting to any of the jobs.
Right.
They were simply objecting to the fact that they felt they had to do it.
Right.
Do you notice that with your kids?
Well, yeah. I mean, and it's not to say you don't, I wouldn't call them bad, or you can say, when you force a kid to clean their room, you don't have a choice. That's one thing. Well, there is a choice. You can clean your room, and you cannot clean your room, but there is a consequence. And that's where we as parents...
Oh, God, that's good.
I didn't even figure that out. I mean, it took me a long time to kind of say, well, how do I get my kids to do what I want them to do? And
it's that additional sentence, boy.
Yeah, well, it's like, yeah, you can choose not to clean your room, but guess what? When you want to go off with your friends, you're not going to get to. You know, but you get to choose. You know, but by their choosing not to, they're already making the choice themselves.
That's really good, Lise.
Oh, it's awesome.
It is good.
Yeah, but again, at the end of the day, you know, the piece we have as parents is helping to give them the power themselves to choose. You know, forcing your children to do right and denying them right of agency is you know, is crippling them. So, but when you give them choices, you know, they feel like, you know, they have a part in it.
No,
then they're
totally
more likely to learn.
I totally get it.
Yeah. And so this message has been brought to you by Lucky Cash, a financial services company.
You know what I'm thinking we should do for you?
Hmm.
I think you should go over and find out who the biggest winner is at one of the casinos. And we should interview what the winner went through. Don't you think that'd be really interesting? Because I bet you that people that win really big,
mm-hmm.
even in the casinos and stuff,
mm-hmm.
that they have a certain philosophy about life. I don't think winning is all accidental. I actually had a woman in my private practice who had actually won seven major competitions, you know, that had to do with even mail-in entries. You know, she won a Jeep, she won a house, you know.
Oh, I agree. You know, I think it was Stephen Covey. I don't know if you got that CD series about intention or something of that nature. He does this chanting or something like that. He was telling me somebody actually did that. Did the, you know, or like some kind of meditation.
Well, we're running out of time, but I'm going to give you an assignment, okay? See if you can find a winner for us.
Find a winner.
One that's won against all, you know, it's like, you know, they won $1 million. They won a couple of things. If you can find somebody to spend it twice, that'd be the best.
Philosophy. What's their philosophy?
I want to know what their philosophy is. and then we'll create a little marketing tool for you.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, Lisa, I thank you so much for being here. I just love your contribution.
Thank you, and I have to jump off, so I'll talk to you guys later.
Take care.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
And Cherie Ross, Miss Essentially Yours?
Yes, dear.
Well, Cherie Ross, I know that any time I talk to you, for whatever Lisa has talked about, you have a remedy for it. You probably even have one for winning.
Actually, yes, we do.
See what I mean? And by the way, I have something I have to tell you. I went to celebrate my 65th birthday last month because I've been acting pathetic.
Yes.
I went ocean kayaking.
Yes.
With some friends. And I'm sitting out there in the middle of the ocean, and I am frying.
Yes.
Now, normally this would be a dangerous thing, but guess what I had in my pocket?
Lavender oil.
Essential oils sun lotion.
Oh, you did. Good.
I did. I took it with me. I put it in my pocket. Everybody was amazed. There I was out floating around the ocean, and I go, I'm not frying out here. And I put the oil all over me, and, you know, for the first time, I didn't peel.
Yes.
So I just thought I'd toss you that one. That's your present for today.
It's nutrition for ourselves at the highest level. Stuff's pretty amazing. So
yeah.
We're going to talk about some fun things today. And the what Lisa was referring to was Wayne Dyer, and it's the power of intention. And it's manifesting your destiny. And so when Lisa was talking about those CDs to listen to, it's Wayne Dyer, Power of Intention, Manifesting Your Destiny. It's a powerful, powerful CD. And on there, he talks about frequency and the frequency of creation. And what you liken frequency to is that of, for example, a radio station. Say that you would like to tune in to a certain radio station, but it's an FM station, but you're on the AM dial. Or it's only something that you can get via satellite and you're on a little AM radio. Are you going to get it? No. One of the challenges that we have is that oftentimes, because of stress or other reasons, our body is functioning as if we were a little AM radio. And when in our reality needs us to function as a big satellite dish. And so how do you change your frequency so that you can be at the multiple levels you need to be at to receive and work with a variety of information simultaneously? It's called multidimensional communication. Well, in ancient times, and Lisa also referred to this, that's why I love working with Lisa. I just love her. Besides being gorgeous, she's brilliant. But one of the things that she inferred was this whole thing about ancient history. And back in the biblical time, in times of Moses, Moses had a wonderful favorite oil. He was very trained in oils, being an Egyptian. And the essential oil that one of his favorites was galbanum.
And how do you spell that?
G-A-L-B-A-N-U-M, galbanum.
Great.
And what does galbanum do? Galbanum not only is an extremely powerful antiviral oil, I mean very powerful to keep viruses away from you. You can apply it topically, take it internally, things like that.
Doesn't it work for like anthrax and stuff?
Oh yeah, very well, very well. It's a no-brainer. It's like a done deal. It's like an elephant squishing, you know, a tiny little pea. I mean, it's handled. And so, but what is interesting about galbanum oil is that it has the ability to shift your frequency and work with you in frequency. And next week I'm going to talk about another oil from Australia, from the Aborigines, the Australian Blue Cypress oil that'll do the same. So I'm going to tease you a little bit here. That has a little different twist. What does galbanum oil do? Galbanum oil, and I like to work with a blend that's called Gathering. And the name of the blend is a hint of what it does, Gathering. Galbanum oil has the ability to attract to you that which will support you in the completion of a task or a project or a mission so that you have successful outcome. And it will attract situations, circumstances, and just absolutely what we call coincidences, okay, if you pay attention. And all you have to do is hold in your intention, hold in your mind, write it down, it's helpful, carry it with you, but hold in your mind what you'd like to successfully attain or create or achieve or complete. And then start working with the gathering oil or the galbanum oil. Wear it, carry it in your pocket. It's a very earthy scent, so if you're working in a fragrance-free environment, just get a little bottle of it and put it in your pocket and don't even need to open it. There's no scent because the frequency works through glass. And literally, it will attract to you the people and the circumstances and the coincidences that you need for the successful
outcome. Now, would you tell people how that can be possible?
Sure, because it's all frequency. It's electric. It's measurable.
So we're matching up with each other on frequency all the time. Is that
sure.
what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Then how do you explain when a person has like a really fabulous relationship and then they fall into one that's just dirt?
Well, how do you explain that?
Yeah, so that it can, so people can grasp how oils can affect that.
Well, we have over 100 trillion cells in our body.
Whew.
Each cell has a DNA strand, at least 12 DNA strands, each cell. From that, each one of those DNA strands has 6 gigabytes of cellular memory.
6 gigabytes.
6 gigabytes of cellular memory times 12 DNA strands times 100 trillion. I don't have a brain that goes that high.
I don't either.
But that's how much memory we have in our cells. And we wonder why we have issues. It's like,
kind of
Lord. Yeah, it's a wonder we don't have issues.
Well, so part, basically, you know, I can tell from, you know, the work that I do with clearing the electromagnetic field.
Yes.
Is that the biochemistry of the oils is actually affecting the biochemistry of the memory and neutralizing the charges is what I would guess.
And it neutralizes the trauma memory. It neutralizes anything that is in the way of life sustaining itself in a positive manner.
Yeah, it isn't like that the memory disappears. It's like any, let's say that you were shocked as a child. Okay, let's say that I just tell you that somebody jumped out at me with a knife and I fought him off, okay?
Right.
You got to know I was shocked.
Yes, trauma.
What would you give me to neutralize my shock?
A couple of things. Depends upon how severe the shock. Helichrysum oil, rose oil, or there's a blend that I work with called Trauma Life. Actually, is a trauma neutralizing oil.
Okay, so what would happen is from me saying, "Oh my God, I can't even remember what just happened." I would say to you, I would be able to recount what happened without the charge. Right?
Absolutely. You would no longer have the negative encodement in the DNA, but you would retain the wisdom of the information.
Yeah, and it would be permanent. Right?
Yeah, you would it would be permanent. Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be like I get rid of the charge and then some other guy walking around with a knife would get me going again.
No, unless you call that forward to yourself.
It would be a new situation.
Correct.
But I wouldn't be going into the past anymore.
No.
And so,
unless you consciously choose to. Unless you consciously choose to, because we have free will.
But how could you if you neutralize the charge? I don't even see how you could get back in.
Oh, you could. You know how people are accident prone? Like one accident after another after
another
after another.
Don't you think that's negative charges being reactivated?
Yes, and what I think it is they never got to the core. It's like they're like a weed. You're constantly pulling the top off, but you never get down to the root.
I like the old cluster of grapes concept.
Yep, that's
like
another good one, too.
What we do is we collect information or evidence to prove that we love to be right.
Yep.
So we even like to be right if we're paranoid.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we love to be right, and so we collect evidence to prove that we're right based on the incidences that have happened in our past, right?
Correct.
So if you neutralize all of those, it's really interesting.
Then you won't attract anymore.
Yeah, because there's a whole thing, you know, people talk about forgiveness being the final thing.
Yep.
You know, how you go through anger, and you go through depression, and you go through trying to work it out and stuff like that, and then you forgive.
Right.
I don't even think that's the final thing, Sheree. No. I think the final thing is to get that it happened.
It's the transformation.
And it's just that it happened.
The final thing is the transformation of the cellular memory. That's the final piece.
Well, that's awesome. And give them the oil. Can you put together a trauma kit for our website?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's easy. It's wonderful. And I what I'd like to do is challenge you to prove me right, because I had in one of my classes a former engineer who is you know, a senior VP of a major company. He resigned, and he retired. And in his retiring years, he was on the board of many banks and, you know, other community things. And he lived in a small town, and he had these three people who were on these boards, multiple boards, and they came in and they had their own agenda. And it was disrupting everybody. So he asked me in one of my classes, he said, "Sheree," he said, "is it possible, could I just, like, wear this oil and hold to my intention that the people there be cohesive and in support of what we're there to do?" You know, because when you're on a board, you're in charge of making sure that whatever that business or that company or that institution is, that you run it properly. And so he said, and they had their own agenda, clearly, and they were gossipy and whatever. So he started to wear this gathering oil and galbanum, and he said it was the most amazing thing. One board meeting after another, these three people would come in, pick fights with each other, and all resign. And he called me, and he said, "If I'd have never experienced it myself, I'd have never believed it."
Oh, how funny.
And who came in their place was people who were very much in alignment with what the mission of the company or the institution or the organization was about.
Oh, that is totally great.
So if you'd like to learn more about how to play with the big kids, give us a call at toll-free 866-RADIO-99 or heavenincorporatedallspelledout.com and prove me right.
Oh, please, prove her right. And not only that, if you just want to make things... Oh, I didn't tell you this also, Cherie. I'm going to be buying a bunch more gratitude oil.
Yeah.
I had a few bottles. I just am pouring gratitude oil in my aerator or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
That when I walk in my room, I'm just feeling total gratitude. And I was thinking, too bad teleconferencing meetings can't have essential oils pumped in. We'll all have to wear them.
Well, you know, some do. And so it's a universal principle. What you appreciate expands.
Oh, this is perfect. George Rucheski, are you here?
I am indeed, Val.
True Leader, are you getting any ideas about how oils might be used in leadership or what you're up to?
Well, actually, I'm fascinated by Cherie's offerings, and I am going to follow up with her on the gathering oil because there is something that I'm working on that I believe that could actually be helpful to. So I'll be a testimonial case for you, Cherie.
Now, George is our leadership person, and he's about adventures in leadership, and he's an inspiration to me every week. So what you have to do this week, George?
Well, actually, what I'd like to talk about, and Gail did a wonderful job of talking about the shift that we need to be making from competition to cooperation to collaboration. And within the semiconductor industry, and I'm in Dallas, and one of the companies that is very dominant here is Texas Instruments. Well, all of the manufacturers of the microprocessors got together and invested in a company called Sementech, Sementech. And it is a research and development company that all of the manufacturers invested in. They do the original R&D, the basic R&D, and the results are available for each of the investor companies, who then use the information that they're getting to enhance their products, to go out in the marketplace so that they have combined their resources so that they can each afford the kind of R&D that it takes to create innovative new opportunities for ways to use the technology. Now, they compete in the marketplace, and yet they are cooperating on the research and development. And I know that Lisa asked the question, well, does this work in other areas? I think it does. And when you think about what happens in competition, competition is I win, you lose.
Right.
Well, cooperation is that we each get what we need, and that's a move up the continuum. The third area, though, is collaboration. And locally, I collaborate with another consultant. He has his own company, and we could see each other as competitors, but instead we see ourselves as colleagues. And each of us, as we are working in the marketplace, discover ways that we could utilize each other's resources to bring a bigger presence to a particular project.
I'd like to give Jeff Crilly a plug right now, because I think that's what he does. Would you like to just let our listeners know who Jeff is and what he's
up to? Yes, Jeff is an Emmy-winning reporter, TV reporter, and he's with Fox News here in Dallas, Texas. And Jeff is an absolutely marvelous individual who's about sharing information. His book is called Free Publicity, and he's taken information and he said, all of us have access to the news if we understand when an item can be newsworthy and how to make something newsworthy so that you tie into helping the news reporter provide a story and you get exposure along the way. So it's a wonderful way of showing that collaboratively we can accomplish so much more. And I think it's that collaboration that we don't really understand. But the essence of collaboration is that when we come together, something new emerges that would not have occurred had we not come together. And I'm seeing the application in so many different ways. I just am wrapping up a project where we're coaching folks around their individual development plans. And it's in a company, they're labeled as high potential folks, and their number one issue is, how do I delegate things to my direct reports? And I ask the question, what do they want to do?
I don't understand quite what you mean by delegate to your direct reports.
Well, delegate to the people that are reporting to you in the organization.
Oh, I see. Got it.
Okay? And I said, well, what do they want to do? And the managers didn't have an immediate response because they haven't engaged their folks in that kind of dialogue, that conversation. Well, what would you like to do? And then how can we create something together that helps you grow and accomplishes a business objective along the way? And it's that collaborative conversation that opens up new possibilities that there's no way that the manager can see it, and there's no way that the employee can visualize it. But when they actually engage in that conversation, what would you like to do? What do you really enjoy doing? How do you learn best? All of a sudden, it opens up new possibilities, and we find new ways of organizing our work to accomplish our business objectives better.
You're kind of talking about synergy, aren't you? Isn't it that the sum of the parts is greater than the whole?
Yes, there is a synergy aspect to it. And the key to collaboration is, I don't know what is going to come out of our togetherness, but I'm convinced that if we are together, something new will emerge that would not have occurred had we not come together.
Which, of course, is what our radio team is all about, too.
Yes, indeed.
And, boy, I'll tell you something. I've been on the air with you guys for a long time now, and I learn something from each of you every week, including Gail. I love the whole conversation about how cooperation stimulates the same centers as chocolate.
And the underlying principle, Val, is that competition is built on a fixed pie fallacy, that there's a limited amount of stuff available for folks, and therefore, in order for me to get more, you have to get less.
Oh, yeah, the pie. It's built on the pie, right?
That's right. And collaboration is based on the truth principle that the pie is always expanding, that when we come together, we come up with new and different ways, and the pie expands, and therefore each of us gets more of the pie.
Well, I know you started to write, and I know you've written a couple of books. Is any of this information covered in your books?
I have not yet written the collaborative guide to collaboration.
Would you do a little article for our little newsletter?
Yes, I will.
I think this would be a really fine time for something like that to come from you, because you totally get it and you totally value it.
And it's why I'm going to be connecting with Gail and seeing how we could together create something.
Will you tell people about your books and how you can find them? And I know you're on the radio, too.
Well, my radio show, The Leadership Adventure, is broadcast in Buffalo, New York, 10:30 Eastern Time on WMNY in Buffalo.
And what day is that?
On Tuesday morning.
Tuesday mornings? Okay, cool. And you've got a couple of books?
I do. I co-authored a book called True Leaders, How Exceptional CEOs and Presidents Make a Difference by Building People and Profits. And it is a book that's based on 10 leadership principles, why the principles are important, how these leaders personally demonstrate the principles, and then how they operationalize them within their companies.
It is magic.
And it is the principle that can be applied regardless of the time. So we are in changing times, but utilizing timeless principles.
You know, what I like about your work, George, is that it is magic when it all works, but it isn't magic because there are certain characteristics and traits that good leaders all share, and you've identified them, so people can actually develop them.
And this segment has been brought to you by True Leader Coach, Inc. You're welcome to call for a free consultation on making progress in your life at 877-321-4TLC. That's 877-321-4852.
I like the TLC. That's great. And next up online, the diva is on the move, probably driving in. Let's see, what kind of a car would she be driving in today? Probably her race car with chocolates on the seat next to her, headed for the border. She's going to be visiting some people down San Diego way. So we have the diva. Sam's going to play her for you right now. And take it away, Sam.
Hi, this is Maureen O'Crean with this week's Savvy Perspective. I want to ask you a question. Are you wussy or a diva? I hope at first glance you say, I am a diva. And remember, guys, that means devo to you. But you know that place inside you where you can take anything on? Well, are you a wussy girl or are you a diva? I thought my wussy girl had been put to sleep a long time ago. And I hope at first glance you said, I'm a diva or I'm a devo. But I discovered a rather unfortunate circumstance recently. My wussy girl is stronger than I ever gave her credit. And she lurks about my subconscious in the most sneaky way. That sneaky kind of way that I never really know when she might show up. Which is just what she did when I least expected her. My son Alex is away at an outdoor science camp for a week. So being a single parent with no relief, I was free. Driving back from a meeting with a client, I decided I would take myself out to lunch. Now here is a ludicrous part of my flawed thinking. I can actually take myself out to lunch any day I want to. It just never occurs to me. I had decided that when I went to this particular restaurant, which has a counter service full of gorgeous men, that I was just going to sit there one day and be flirty. But that was months ago. When I actually went in, I was seated at a table far in the back with a table and a chair in between me and all the gorgeous men. And my wussy girl started talking to me. You can't go sit at the counter. Your hair's not done. You're wearing slippers. Mind you, these are the hottest shoes that are in style. They have a wool lining. And I don't know, they're made from some exotic kind of plant or something. But my wussy girl was in charge. Now, Diva should have just said to her, go away, girl. But she didn't. And I observed. I want you to observe. Where do you shut down and where do you go? So I summoned up all the divaness in me, and as I checked out, I flirted with an absolutely fabulous man and put my wussy girl back in her place where she belongs, silent and out of the front of life. So check out and see if you have a wussy person living in you. They're the ones that have you stop working on the things that bring you passion. They're the part of you that says you can't do it. And they're the part of you that is not true. So you go have a diva or a devo week. The Savvy Perspective is sponsored by DistinctivelyDiva.com. We invite you to send your questions and your messages to us at Heaven Incorporated, and Incorporated is all spelled out, .com, or call us toll free at 866-RADIO-99.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Of course, you know, they call it a midlife crisis, but it isn't. I have a choice. I will be reaching 65 in mid-August, and the deal here is, do I just pack it away, retire, travel, get on a cruise ship, or do I go and kayak in the harbor, buy an 85 Jeep, drive around, have some fun, make some trips, make some plans, get myself in shape, get a suntan, and get that 65 is nothing, especially when you have friends like Mary Louise and Ron Zeller, who will be on the show in a couple of weeks, talking about winning the second half of your life. And it's like 65 used to be when you'd say, I'm retired, it's over, I've worked hard. And what I'm saying is I've done the work now, and I now have the time and the energy and the desire to feel terrific and go out and do the things that I want to do. And I invite you to do it, too. This is my birthday wish. And as a Leo, I party a month around my birthday. You should know that. This program is produced by Kirkgaard Media Group, Incorporated, Radio Classrooms of America, our radio partners, ConingCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy and Memoriam, our executive producer, Nathan Jett, And thanks to many of our guests and our Chief Technical Officer, Pete Laubach, and thanks to the team at Voice America, Denise and Eric and Sam, and thanks to Ben Mikan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. Next week, invite a friend to listen, and if you want to do something, don't die wondering about it. Just do it.
And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com. This is for all.